Hope that you all had a great Christmas with your family and Christmas Eve, and hopefully it was good for you. Hopefully it was good to be with the people you needed to be with, and hopefully that you had a great time. And sometimes it feels like some Christmases may be better than others, and sometimes we have people that we've lost over the years. It makes it a little tough, but we still managed to get through that by the power and love of the Lord. And so hopefully you did have a good Christmas, and also we have New Year's coming up, right? So we have New Year's coming up here. I know there's a New Year's Eve party here, and but also just kind of let you know tonight we have an annual business meeting, so we have to have that tonight after service. So church is going in some of it's in a little bit different direction, so we're going to be talking about that tonight. So if you want to be here for that, that would be great. So, but if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke today. We're going to jump in Luke chapter 12, and I just want to bring it to a point here today of that there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. And there's times when we can be around things, we can be around the things that God has for us, and we miss it. We can be right in front of what God is trying to do and what God is doing, and we just miss it. And here's one of those things here. We see this great crowd of people. What is this? Verse 1, it says, "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, and Jesus began to speak." So we see that there was a large crowd. They were gathering together. They wanted to be around what Jesus is doing because Jesus is doing miracles. He's doing some teaching. But it's mainly the miracles is what they want. They want to have a miracle done, or they want to see him. They want to see this new thing, this one that's out there. And so there's a lot of people, and they're beginning to trample on each other. I don't know if you've ever been to Colosseum when it's been sold out, but it can be really just bumping into people. And this is what this is. They're just bumping into people. They're not there to see a band. They're not there to see. They're there. They want to hear. They want to see what Jesus is going to do. They want to hear what he has to say. And Jesus does not fall into this whole thing, what the world is wanting from him. We're going to see three different sections here. I'll read a little bit of more scripture today than normal, but lately I've been kind of doing that. But we're going to read a little bit here today, a little bit about some of it. It may seem like it's all about finances and money, but it's not. There's a lot more to it than that. We're going to talk about that, but we're going to read this piece here. We're going to see this first piece here. After this crowd is together, Jesus says, "You know what? You're so important. I know how many, you know, that the Lord says there. It says in verse 7, indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Jesus is beginning to tell these people and disciples all these things. And then someone in the crowd has to speak out. Someone in the crowd has to make a shout. Someone has to say something to Jesus. He says this in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I want to tell you, money changes people. It can change people. And so here, we don't know much about this guy. We don't know much about his brother. This guy could have spent everything that he had on prior, like one of the other sons' parables that we've read about. But we could see this guy here. Maybe he was left out of the inheritance. Maybe he had his, he spent his. We don't know. Maybe his brother was nice and gave him some, but maybe not enough to him. Maybe his brother is greedy, stingy, whatever it may be. But there's a piece here that he says, "Hey, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And this is Jesus' replies. He says, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, it's almost like Jesus is speaking to that man. He says, "Listen, who appointed me judge or arbiter over you?" And then he takes the total focus off of that man that's asked him, and then he begins to talk to the crowd. Because Jesus wants him to get something from this as he said that. He says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." This is the American problem. This is the American problem. The abundance of possessions. The abundance of things. Okay? Let's just get this right out the bat. We know that we need money to survive. We need funds to survive. Okay? We need money to survive. But what happens is we begin to put money above the Lord. We begin to put money and savings accounts and all those things above the Lord. We love the Lord when we have. And I want to ask you, do you love the Lord when you don't have? And he says, "A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions, yet we continue to want more." So he tells them another parable. He tells them this parable. He says, so he's looking at this ground. He says, the ground of a certain rich man, verse 16, produced a good fruit, a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. I'm going to change that word crops to stuff. How's that? So I have no place to store my stuff. Okay? You might understand stuff a little bit more than crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grains and all my goods and all my stuff. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. I'll take life easy. I'll eat and drink and be merry. And I got everything that I need. This is what happened in the 70s and 80s and the 90s. I got my 401k. Can I tell you 401ks? I'm not saying they're bad things. But it's funny how we judge what we don't like others, what they do. We judge others, but we don't want to turn the mirror and we do not want to look in the mirror. Some people would disagree with me on this, because basically, it's almost to me, going in 401ks, I have some retirement, I have retirement, but 401ks and retirements are kind of like gambling. You put the money in a stock and you hope it goes up. You have no control over it. You let somebody else pick it, pull the slot machine. You get what I'm saying? It's okay to have a retirement. This guy is stuffing it. I mean, he is stuffing it, all right? He has got it. He has made it. Somewhere he has just had this moment, and everything just flourished. It was the best season he had, and everything flourished. He says, now I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to tear down my old ones. I'm going to build bigger barns, I'm going to have bigger savings accounts, and I'm going to take life easy. And this is what he says. This is what he says, verse 20. But God said, now when God says something, it's always pretty important, don't you think? So God said to him, you fool. Now, we are not to call people a fool, but the Bible tells us we're not to call people a fool. But if God does it, it's okay, right? Because he makes a judgment. God is making a judgment, and God says this man is a fool. He says, you fool, this very night, now this is what we don't get, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. You know God can demand your life right now. You better have a fear of the Lord in some ways. We need to learn to have a good fear of the Lord. Look at me now. We need to have a good fear of the Lord. You ain't all what you think you are, and you ain't all as good to two shoes as you think you are, and I'm not either. God can demand your life at any moment. There's nothing you can say, nothing you can do to stop the hand of God, and God has that power. Amen? He says, this night your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? If you want to read more into this, you can go back into Ecclesiastes, and you can read about a man who did the same thing. I stored up everything. I did everything. But he, instead of just the money, he went out and had a good time. He did everything, and he found out there was no peace in his life. He found it was all just a chasing of the wind. But verse 21, he says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. So you could be rich toward yourself, but not rich toward God. Okay? So here we have this one guy who shouts out this whole thing about, hey, Jesus told my brother to give up his money because it's due me. We got a lot of people like that in America. That's due me. Can I tell you about an inheritance? You didn't earn it. It's not yours. It's a gift. If you get an inheritance, it's a gift. That's it. You didn't earn it. Okay? This man had this thing like, it's owed me. Then we get this other, we get this next story about a guy who has it all. And he's concerned about everything that he has and all his stuff. And that night, he has this big plan, and that night, his life is going to end. And so Jesus says, okay, now listen. So this is how we're going to wrap it up. This is what Jesus says. Now we're going to wrap it up. I want to tell you, because he knows what's on the mind of everybody. Everybody's got to have food. You got to pay your rent. You got to pay your bills. You got to have all that stuff. And Jesus has a plan for that. He's going to tell them, this is how it works. Now listen, you can do it your way, and I'm going to ask you how your way's working. Or you can do it God's way, okay? You can do it God's way, all right? Now I want to stop for a moment. I want to tell you, God has patience, and God has mercy, and God has a lot of grace. But don't push him. Don't test him. All right? Verse 22, it says, then he said to his disciples. When he wants to say something a lot of times really important, he'll just turn to his disciples and he'll speak to them because he wants them to hear it. Because if I'm looking at you directly right now, if I'm looking at you individually and I'm starting to talk to you and I'm looking at your faces, you're going to take what I'm going to say more important. If I look up and I'm just speaking and I'm speaking to over here the whole time, you guys over there is going to hear what I say, but it's not going to be as impacting. So this is why when you preach, you got to be looking around at everybody. Make sure, you know, I know who's sleeping. I know who's drifts off. I know who's on their cell phone. You may not think I do, but I do. But it's not just about you. I guess it's about everybody. So here, Jesus turns and he says, I'm going to look at you disciples. You got to get this. These guys might not get it, but these guys need to get it. Okay? So he says this. He says, therefore, he's talking to his disciples, I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. Why is he telling the disciples this? He's telling the crowds. A lot of these people, the crowds, they're shepherds, they're fishermen, they're tent makers, they're doing all these things. The disciples, you remember when Jesus called the disciples, they dropped their nets and they left? They dropped their careers. They dropped their jobs. And they began to follow Jesus. If anybody could get what Jesus was saying, this was more of a deeper thing for these guys. He says, do not worry about, what you will eat or about your body and what you will wear. Because he knew that these guys, some of this stuff was on their minds. They didn't have the funds that they had before. But one thing they know, as we're going to read, it says, consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or a barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Once again, God reminds us, Jesus reminds us, that we can't, you know, we can't even extend our life with our own power. He says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this, he says, very little thing. It's a little thing to God to extend a life, but not to us. Then why do you worry about the rest? He says, consider how the lilies grow, and they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. I want to tell you, there's a lot of times when the scriptures you'll read and he says, and it's thrown into the fire. It will be thrown into the fire. Why does he say that? Because he wants to remind you that there is a place called hell. He's not trying to hide it. He wants to remind you that there is a hell and people go there. And he does not want you to go there. He wants you to choose Christ. Amen? And once we choose Christ as our Savior, we are to follow in his ways. Not to be a rebellious child, but to be a child of God that obeys. And he says, don't set your heart on these things. He says, for the pagan world runs after these things. So the world runs after these things. We seem to idolize those who have much. We idolize whose names are big. This is what the world does. And he says, and your Father knows that you need them. Jesus says, we know that the Father knows that you need these things. You need these things to survive in this world. You need these things to survive in the world. Sometimes I wonder how strong we are as Christians if everything was taken away. Everything. Everything. You know that when things are taken away from us and we lose things, we begin to pray more. When our health begins to deteriorate, we begin to pray more. When one of our children are sick, we begin to pray more. One of our children's marriages are in trouble, we begin to pray more. No wonder why God allows us to go through some of those times. When our marriage is in trouble, we begin to pray more. If we begin to lose finances, our jobs are in trouble, we begin to pray more. Because most of us cannot handle a lot of money. Most of us cannot handle a lot of success. Most of us cannot handle a big armful of blessings. We have a hard time handling it. But God knows we need these things to live. So what's he say? This is the big piece here. He says, but seek his kingdom And these things will be given to you as well. I'm going to give you three things today. I'm going to give you three different scriptures today. It's going to help you get through these things and these moments in your life. These things are going to help us to become the best Christian that you possibly can be, to be stay focused, steady on the straight stream, okay? This is the first one. Seek His kingdom. When you seek His kingdom, you're seeking Jesus. When you're seeking Jesus, you are on the number one path. Amen? Jesus, He is the supplier, okay? He is our Lord. He is our Savior. We seek Him. We seek Him. And what's the Bible tell us? And these things will be given to you. God will take care of us if we do it His way. So number one, we need to seek His kingdom, not our own kingdom. We need to seek His kingdom, not our own kingdom. And the little one that I kind of have attached to that is in verse 34. But he says, but seek His kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. And verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your heart is where your treasure is. If I want to look at your treasure, I'll find your heart. It's a mirrored piece. And hopefully we see the kingdom of God there. We see Jesus in your heart. Okay? We see Jesus in your heart. But he goes down to verse 35, number 2. This is a tough one for us. He says, be dressed. Okay? Be dressed. That means be prepared. That means that armor of God thing in Ephesians. We need to be dressed. Okay? Ready for service. Ready for service. That means we need to serve Him. Okay? We need to serve Him. We need to be ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Okay? We know about the parable about the 10 virgins and their oil. Okay? You need to keep your lamps burning, which means you are the light of the world. You need to continue to focus and let your light shine. If you're about the kingdom of heaven things are going to be about you. Okay? Jesus is going to reflect off of you. You're a light into the darkness. Your lamp keeps burning. Okay? You have that oil, it keeps burning. All right? It keeps burning. And now the one, the heavy one. Jesus goes through some talking here. He's talking about a servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready, or does not, in verse 47. Does not do what his master wants, will be beaten with many blows. We have a hard time handling that one. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows from everyone who has been given much. Much will be expected. How much have you been given? I'm just asking. How much has God given to you? Now, sometimes we think that that's just a pastor. We think that that's someone like that. But no, for everyone who has been given much, what does that mean? That means whatever God has given to you, whatever you have in your life, whether it's the physical things of the world, okay? We're talking a little bit about fun. There were some parts here we're talking about money, but I want you to know it's bigger than the dollar. If you make a lot of money, you need to be giving. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. It didn't say much will be asked for. It says it will be demanded. You're expected, okay, to give much. If God's given you the gift of mercy, then much mercy will be demanded from you. I always go back to say, what is your spiritual gift? And so many people, you know, there's parts of the times when I like those written tests. There's other times I just can't stand them. Because if you've been a Christian for a while, you can figure out the one you want to have and the one you think you have, and you can answer those questions, and you can figure out what it's saying, and you can tell, oh, this is the one I have. So we can kind of pick and choose when we do those tests. So I don't really like to do them with people who've been a Christian a while, because it just doesn't work that way. A person who's been a Christian a while should know what their spiritual gifts are. And if you don't, then you need to be seeking those out. And you need to seek those out so that you can be an active Christian for the kingdom of God. But everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. Much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Here's the ask part. The first part is the demand. If much has been given, much will be demanded. But the second part says, and from the one who has been entrusted, it means God's entrusted you with some things. He's been entrusted you with some things. And it's time to grow. I am afraid that there are many Christians that are not really growing. Or they may be growing, but it's so such a small growth that it's going to take 10 years to get where they could have been in two. It's going to take 20 years to get where they should have been in 5 or 6, 7 years. Because Jesus is just not that important. Oh, I love Him for His salvation. I love Him for that I'm part of all the things that He has. And I want to be a part of those things, but I want my life. I want to do my thing. I want to live my way. I want to ask you, how's your way working? Okay? How's it working? And He says, for you guys that I've entrusted things with, okay? I've entrusted you with it. I'm going to ask more from you. And some people say, how can God keep asking me more and more and more and keep pulling me? Because your life is not yours anymore. It's not yours. Once you become a Christian, you want to say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I want Him to be King of my life. And we pray that prayer when we come to Christ and we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. He does all that. He keeps His part. And then we want to back up 2, 3 months later. We want to back up and say, you know what? I don't want to do all that stuff. I don't need to do that stuff. I want to do my thing. I want to do the things that I want to do. No, we don't have that right. We don't have that right to do that. God owns me. I'm going to tell you that right now. God owns me. I know that. He owns me. I am a human being that God owns. I'm not being proudful about it. I'm just saying that God owns me. The air that I breathe is His. The clothes that I have is what He provided for me. I am owned by God. So I want to serve my God. I want to serve, and some people don't like it, but I want to serve the master that I have. I am a slave to God. I love my master. I love my God. I love Jesus. And He says, if I've entrusted you with much, I talked to Scott this morning just for a moment. I said, how far is this going to go? And you may not know what that conversation is, but that's how the conversation was. We didn't talk about anything. We were talking about other things. I said, I don't know how far this is going to go. He knew it because He knows me. He knew what that meant because He knows me. He knew that because we've been down the road together for these last 14 years. But the scriptures say this. The one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. When you follow Christ, you don't, and you've asked Him and you're a Christian, you don't have the right to say, I quit. You can't say, I'm done. You can't say, well, I think I'm going to stop here. I think this is where I'm going to stop here. This is where I think we're going to do that. No, it's about Him. It's about when He pulls the strings. It's about Him. I love the stories about Moses and Joshua. And God says, I'm going to take you up to the mountain and you're going to die, Moses, because you know what you did. And he gets up there and he gets to see the promised land and he dies. And he dies. God told him he was going to die. And then he goes and he begins to speak to Joshua. And he says, Joshua, Moses is now dead. People die. Preachers are replaced. Worship leaders are replaced. And there's nothing you do, there's nothing you're going to do where you're going to be unreplaceable when you're serving the Lord. Everyone is replaceable. The only one in the conversation that is not replaceable is God. He is from Genesis all the way to Revelations. There is no one person who is alive during all that process except the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. People have a beginning and people have an end. But because of the love of God and because of the giving of Jesus, they made it possible that we can be all a part about them and through salvation. It's a gift that we are able to be here today. It's a gift that we can come and sing and put our attempt into singing and put our attempt into praying and put our attempt into preaching and listening. We try to do our best. It's an attempt to do that. And God sees our attempt and God sees our actions and we ask Him to bless those. And many times He does and we do that. But I'm also reminded sometimes I feel like it's like Jesus when He says, when we go to Him and He says, you know, I did not, you know, the healed leper come back. He says, thank you, Jesus, thank you. And Jesus says, I thought there was 10 of you guys. Where's the other 9? And sometimes I think Jesus says, new life. Yeah. But where's the rest of you? You see, we don't do a great job getting it together. We attempt to get it together. And we can only do it and make that true attempt when we seek the kingdom of God. We first seek the kingdom of God. Second of all, we're ready for service. We get ready for service. And we serve Him and we keep our lamps burning, knowing that it's not going to be that we quit. We got to finish the race. And the third part is whatever God's given to us, that we are held accountable for it. And then when we do, where much is given to us, much is demanded. But when entrusted with a lot, He says, I'm going to ask you for more. And He has every right to, doesn't He? He has every right to ask. He has every right to demand us. He has every right to ask us. And all He wants us to do is follow Him. To follow Him and do what He has for us. He says in verse 51, do you think I come to bring peace on earth? He says, no, but division. He says, I'm coming in here and I'm going to cause division. Jesus is so amazing. This is what happens. It comes in and it just causes division. We're going to finish up here. It says 52, it says, from now on there will be 5 in one family divided against each other, 2 against 2, or 3 against 2. And 2 against 3. They will be divided, family against son, and son against the father, and father against the daughter, and daughter against the mother. Mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. How many of y'all have problems in your family? How many of them are non-believers? You got one believer, you got the believers on one side, and you got the non-believers on another side. Jesus said it was going to happen. So why do we think it's not going to happen? Did He not just say that? Those who accept Him will be on one side, those who don't will be on the other. And I look at some family members in my own, and I see that, and I say, there it is. There's the Christians on one side. There's the non-Christians on the other. There is a dividing line. Does it mean you don't love them? No, you still love them, but there is a divide. And they'll talk to you about everything and anything, but when you start bringing up the Lord, you start bringing up that, the first thing that lost side does is this. You think you're always right. They want to jump on you for your Christianity. Why, you think you're holier than thou? You heard the comments. Oh, you think you're better than everyone else. And the fact is, you didn't say anything, did you? You didn't say anything. You're just trying to live the life that God's called you to live. And when you say something, you're holding your tongue back and they're letting their tongue loose. This is exactly what Jesus says. I tell you, I did not come to bring peace on the earth. I come to bring division. So how do we put all of this together? We didn't even get to interpreting the times. I wanted to kick through all through 12, but I wanted to share with you, this is the way it works. It can be confusing and it can be hard, but I'll tell you this, you trust the Lord in all that you do. You trust the Lord every day. The good days and the bad days. The happy days and the sad days. The days you get good news and the days you get bad news. You serve the Lord. You learn to love the Lord in the sunny days, the gloomy days, every day of your life. For one day, your life will be accounted. You will have to stand before God and give an account of your life. You better not have too much money. You better not have a bunch of junk where people around you need this stuff. You better be having a giving hand, a loving heart, and a servant's life for God. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to finish the race where much is expected. Much is given, much is expected. And God's expecting you to be better than you could do him than you can do on your own. I hope your life is better. There's a lot of people right now that I can just, little faces of people, portraits of people's faces, have chosen to go another direction. They're living in a life of sin. They've chosen to walk away from the Lord. They think that they have a better life, whether it be this group or that group or that group or another group. I see them. I see some of them that was a part of new life. They didn't want to get it together with God. They wanted to get together with the world. They were chasing the worldly things. Because one person says something, they want to say, oh, you cast judgment on me. But the Bible says we are to judge those inside the church. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we need to make judgments. Listen, I'm not going to let someone, you know, say some things or do some things in the church or in their life and me not put a word in there. I think I'm accountable to that. I'm accountable. I'm not supposed to just stand back and not say something. But that's what we end up doing, don't we? That's what we end up doing. Facebook is a big piece, and you want to flip everybody off, and you want to be in motorcycle clubs and all that. Listen, I'm going to think you ain't. You know, that's just telling me that you just walked away from the Lord, and you want to be a member of New Life Fellowship. I mean, you're accountable for that. You're accountable for that. Listen, signing up in salvation is a big responsibility. It's a life that we're supposed to live our life out with a shining light before the world. Man, if you let your life be different and you become that Christian you're supposed to be and you're a work in progress and you just want to be faithful to God, God's going to use you. God's going to use you. Don't be like the others. I'll tell you what, they're the hypocrites. Nobody wants to use those words, but that is a hypocrite. I want Jesus on my bad days, but on my good days, they're mine. They're me and my beer buddies, those are mine. No, they're not. Your body is a temple of a living God. If you go back and you read the old scriptures and you talk about how they walked in back in into the Holy of Holies, I want to tell you, they had a rope tied on that guy, but if he did something wrong, they had to yank him out. But God's going to strike him dead. And God doesn't live in buildings built like that no more. He lives inside of us. I wonder how many times I need that rope yanked on us a few times. So my question today, are you living the right life that God wants you to live? You're walking around as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You are to represent. Representing the Son of God. I just don't understand how he allows us to even represent. But thank God for the Holy Spirit, amen? Because we can't do it without the Holy Spirit power. Someone is going to ask you a question. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking His kingdom? Or are you seeking your own kingdom? Are you ready for service? Are you living your life out for Him? Or are you living your life out for yourself? And are you acquiring a lot and not sharing it? Or much is given, much is demanded. Does that fit you? Has God given you a lot and you're not giving back? And the other part is, well, God has entrusted much with you. Are you telling Him you're done or you're finished? I can't do no more. When all along He's saying, listen, you got to walk a little further. The journey of your journey is not over. The journey of your life is not over. No one knows the day of the hour they're going to die. We are going to have a celebration in September for 15 years. And there's going to be a moment where we're going to put on the screen every person that was a part of New Life Fellowship that had passed away. And I was thinking of the names and kind of putting the pictures together, and I saw a couple pictures yesterday. Did you know that they're not all the same age? Do you know we had some very young ones? You don't get to pick the time. Take what God has given to you. Have a positive fear of the Lord. Live before God and be the vessel that God wants you to be. The more you learn, the more I read, the less I know. But also the more I get to know who He is. And I begin to understand that we are just dust. Without God and His love, we are nothing.